Well, my name is Chris, and I oversee the children's ministry here, the special needs ministry, as many of you have been told many times by now. I believe this is the workshop on leading a children's ministry. Isn't that correct? Leading a ministry. Lots of things to talk about. First of all, I would just say God bless you and keep you and hold fast. To be in leadership is to have a big old X on your back and to experience warfare in a way that people who are not in leadership don't. Because there are a lot of things riding on you for the kingdom of God and for the glory of the name of Christ. And so anyone who is in a position of leadership, who is in a position where choices are being made and tones are being set and vision is being cast, and you have to make the hard choices and the unpopular decisions, there's going to be an element of warfare, not just for you, but also for your family. And so I experientially know what that's like, and greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Amen. So leadership in the kingdom of God, there is certainly a theme of service that has developed here at the conference from what Gil spoke about to what Pastor Dave spoke about and to foreshadowing what I will speak about after lunch. But leadership in the kingdom of God is not a dictatorship. It is a service. It is servant leadership. We use the term servant leaders here. Gil talked about, it's not a stepping stone to something greater. You don't have to do your sentence, do your time. You're stuck in children's ministry until somebody notices your giftings and says, hey, now it's time to be the lead pastor of our church. Now, that doesn't happen. That shouldn't be your heart. Jesus called the children to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. Great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to save, come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He would say in Matthew that a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. So, leadership in the kingdom of God is serving the kids. We do that. Leadership in the kingdom of God is serving the volunteers. It's serving the families. It's serving the Lord. Matthew 18 says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Humility should be observable in us. Playing the background, working in the shadows, it doesn't matter whose eyes are on you. All things are just unto the Lord, and you serve him gladly and cheerfully. servant leadership. Pastor Modesto Mark Carson, he said, successful ministry happens when I try to outserve you and you try to outserve me. And so it's important to try to outserve one another. And if that is the mark of your ministry, where each person is esteeming the other person better than themselves, then you're not on your high and mighty throne looking down on everyone else. Instead, everyone else is looking up to you, and you're looking up to everyone else. And if we have a ministry marked by everyone looking out for one another and up to one another instead of looking down on everyone else, then instead of me looking out for me, we have everyone looking out for everyone. What a wonderful thing the body of Christ is. And so in lowliness of mind, let us serve one another as the Lord serves us. Now, leaders, you must be led before you lead. You must be led before you lead. Leaders are followers. Shepherds are also sheep. Nothing should come between you and your own time with the Lord in his word, in fellowship, and in prayer. Don't compromise that. That is the number one thing. Let the Lord speak to you. Don't cut that out. You have a long list of to-dos. You have lots to do. And there's plenty more that you could do that you're not even thinking of. And you are just constantly buried with a long list of responsibilities and tasks and planning and problems. Do not sacrifice that time with the Lord. Don't do it. Seek the Lord. Read his word. Seek wise counsel. We can't do effective children's ministry unless God shows up. And we can't expect him to show up unless we humble ourselves, admit our need, and ask. And that starts when we are alone with him. It is important for your volunteers to know that you spend time alone with the Lord, that when you make decisions, they might not like it, but they know that you prayed about it before you did it. They know that you sought the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things will be added to you, Matthew 6 says. It can seem counterintuitive. It can seem like inaction. Wait on the Lord, do my devos, but I could be working on my lesson plan right now. But I need to get this spot filled in the schedule. But I haven't decided what the theme for VBS is yet. It's not inaction, it's the most important thing. Don't sacrifice this. Everything and everyone will suffer for it if you do. As leaders, we need to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. What God is calling us to do. Not the culture, not the kids, not the parents, not the volunteers, not what Calvary Philly is calling you to do, or other churches. Any of you guys ever look at what other churches are doing in their children's ministry? I love spying on other churches. I do it so that I can learn from them. I can't tell you how many people I called, different children's ministries. You know, I went out to the West Coast to their children's ministry conference. Just love talking to all the different leaders, learning. You will never have a full handle on the ministry that you lead. There's always more to learn, more to do, more to grow in. And it can be really overwhelming when you go to something like this and you just come away. You're like, there are 5,000 things that I could be doing that I'm not. What in the world? How am I going to navigate through this? Don't be discouraged. Don't be beat up. The Lord will lead you and guide you. And we're, all our churches are different. Some of our churches, we have 5 kids in our children's ministry. Some of our churches, we have 500 and everything in between. And the Lord is able to lead us and guide us in how we lead all of those ministries and all those personalities. So you have to seek him. A leader needs to be led. That being said, don't get stuck in a rut. I forget who said it. I don't know. Tozer, Chuck Smith, somebody spiritual, said that the only difference between a rut and a grave is the depth. Don't get stuck in a rut. We don't do things just because it's the way we've always done them. And I let every new volunteer I bring on know that. God has uniquely gifted you. We are doing things the way that I put in this ministry manual. I'm going to lead you in that. We are very intentional about the things that we do and about the things that we don't do. But God has gifted you. Give me feedback. Tell me when you have ideas. What can we do better? What ideas do you have? And then when they come to you with their ideas, tell them, thank you so much. I'll pray about it. And then pray about it. Don't say, yeah, let's do it. No way. Pray about every decision that you make. There's going to be a trickle down. It's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect the kids, the families, the volunteers. Lead with biblically grounded, prayerfully sought, and Holy Spirit-led conviction so that you don't sway at every idea that comes your way and every passing trend. But do be open to change. I'll pray about it. And then pray about it. Don't lie to them. Don't start off a new volunteer by lying to their face. You know, I don't make decisions on the fly. The Lord needs to steer the ship. Let him lead you. Can't lead unless you're led. Your role as a leader is to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is groundbreaking stuff, I know. You came all the way to Calvary Philly to hear that you need to love Jesus. But I'm serious. That's where it begins. Love the Lord. Do you love him? Do you still have joy in service? Is it still unto him? Or you just got your hand to the plow and you're moving forward just because it's what you've always done? Is he still calling you to it? Love the Lord. Let everything you do flow from him. The love of Christ compels me, the things that I do. I'm not being compelled by anyone else. And after you love the Lord well, love your family well. It's my wife. She plays the background. She is my greatest supporter in all that I do. She holds me accountable, and I am blessed to have someone who is complimentary to me and knows my weaknesses and also serve under a man of God who values time with family. The ministry will still be there when you're gone. Your family, on the other hand. Kids are going to grow up, leave the house. Relationships are going to suffer. I'm not lying to you when I say that the other week, Pastor Joe came into my office and said, you're working too much. I have a conference coming up. I have things to do, a long list. You taking a day off this week? I wasn't going to until you were standing here. And I did, because I trust him. And I think that there are a lot of older pastors who maybe would have ministered a little differently if they had another chance and spent more time with their family. God is not honored when we love the family of God well and leave our own families in the dust. I have 4 boys, 7, 5, 3, and 1. We live in a culture of parentless homes where the parents are present in the home, but they're absent. Their heads are down on their screens. The screens are babysitting the kids. They offload everything onto everyone else. You know, education, school, that's to educate my child. And they have a coach to grow them in whatever skill, whatever sport, and they have church to grow them spiritually, disengaged from their kids. Lead your family. Love them well. Don't sacrifice them on the altar of ministry. That does not glorify God. Set healthy boundaries. Take days off. Use your vacation days. You'll leave the ministry one day. You'll never leave your family, and you don't want them to leave you. There are too many homes, again, where the fathers and mothers are absent. Vision casting, your role as a leader. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so provide a view of the bigger picture for your volunteers. Do they know what they signed up for? Do they know what's going on? We have a little phrase here, no grow show, to be able to communicate what we do here in children's ministry with parents and with volunteers alike. This is where kids come to know God, to be introduced to him so that they get saved. And then they grow in the knowledge of God, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They get discipled. Evangelism and discipleship happens here. And then we send them out. No grow show. As God works into them things that will be fruitful for them to put God's heart on display for their friends, for their family, out into the world, give them the Great Commission, help them run with it, equip them to go and make disciples themselves. Kids, no one is too young to be used by the Lord. Kids need to hear that. We are not babysitting them. We are not tucking them away until they're actually useful. Kids are powerful instruments in the hand of God. Do your volunteers know that? Do they believe it? Have you given them a vision? Vision should be simple. It should be clear. It should be memorable. Something that they can repeat and run with. It can start with something as simple. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And so all of my policies and procedures, all of the heart and everything that I've done has been through the filter of what helps kids come to Christ and what would hinder them. Not going to do the things that hinder, are going to do the things that open our arms wide so that they can be embraced by the Lord. I have a note here. We have boring names here at Calvary Philly. I don't know if you've noticed that. This is not a slight on any other church. Children's ministry is called children's ministry. And junior high ministry is called junior high ministry. We don't have Impact and Ignite and Kingdom Kids. And I'm not saying any of that is bad. But I want a visiting family to come here and know what they're sending their kid to. And so if we say, what is Catalyst? That used to be what our senior high ministry was called, by the way. What is Catalyst? No, senior high, that's where your 9th, 10th, or 11th, or 12th grader goes to be ministered to. We should be clear. God's not the author of confusion. And so we can have fun titles and fun things and give the kids a sense of fun, but we just call things what they are. We're very boring here at Calvary Philly. We try to make up for it in other ways. Be clear about what our ministries and events are. What defines a successful children's ministry? Well, it's a place where children are welcomed into the arms of Jesus and blessed by him. The parents brought their kids to him, and he took them up in his arms and blessed them. Have the children been touched by the hands of Christ when they leave your children's ministry? Are they embraced at the door by him? As much as you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, Jesus said. What defines a successful children's ministry? Experiencing the Lord when they come here in a way that invites them to come to him. Communicate clearly what it is that it's supposed to happen in children's ministry. Let the little children come to me. It's as easy as that. Let whatever vision you have come right out of the Bible. Don't make something up. The decision maker. Yay, we love making decisions. Choosing a curriculum. I would just say that this should be a team effort. Maybe even led by a pastor. We have a curriculum that was written by one of our pastors here and that several pastors have had a hand in. You don't have to use it. I'm not going to tell you you do. But I am going to tell you that when it comes to a curriculum, it should reflect the goal of your children's ministry. It should be biblically rich and biblically, sound. And the kids need to come and not just be taught a list of morals and ways that they can be better. Be brave, because David was brave when he faced Goliath. No, they need to know about how big God is. The Bible is where we experience the bigness and the largeness of God. And when we put God on display, then kids come to him. They don't need to leave knowing how to behave better. You can create a bunch of little Pharisees doing that. We do respond to the word. We do apply the word practically. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's a pretty clear takeaway from that verse. But we want them to experience the Lord through our curriculum, to have lots of gospel opportunities in our curriculum, to put God's heart on display for them. Find a curriculum to fit the goal and the vision for your church. A good curriculum will be a blessing to the kids in your church. It will be a blessing to the families in your church. It will be a blessing for your volunteers who study it. And I love to hear that as volunteers study the word and the curriculum, they themselves are getting fed and growing in their own walk with the Lord. Don't have a shallow curriculum that doesn't feed your volunteers. Have something that enriches them so that God's word can get into them, so that they themselves can be discipled as they read and interact with it. Our curriculum isn't behavior-focused. It's Bible-saturated and gospel-centered. I would encourage you to go to the Foundations Curriculum Workshop with Pastor Dave if you haven't already, just to learn more about curriculum thought processes and things. Decisions, to VBS or not to VBS. That's a real thing. You know, a senior pastor might say, we're going to have a VBS. And they say, all right, let me figure out what that means. And here we have 550 kids come out of our VBS this past summer, and they're all here for, it's like children's ministry on steroids. It is just a beautiful mess of just an explosion of energy, and it is so much fun. It is so fun, so exhausting and tiring. It is awesome. You just have over 15 hours straight with these kids who you normally only get to see once a week or once every other week. You just get to pour into them and love them, and it is something that should be entered into prayerfully. You're not doing it just because everyone else does VBS. You're not opening it up to the whole community so that you can have this outreach to the community when you don't even have the capacity to bring them back in on Sunday after VBS is over and feed them a shallow curriculum where they're not going to get to know the Lord. So priority is Sunday morning. Is that solid? Is that sound? One of the reasons why we didn't have a children's ministry conference until now is because I came on in 2019, and then my first full year of ministry was 2020. That was awful. I led VBS at home and stood in front of an empty sanctuary and did songs and tried to do them joyfully with some people doing motions who did it even more awkwardly than I led worship. And you're just like giving your best to the Lord, and you're like, this is not what I signed up for. But you don't quit because the Lord called you to it. So choose a curriculum. When it comes to things that you're going to do, decisions that you're going to make, pray. Why didn't I put that first? Pray. My goodness. I'm such a rookie. Set priorities. Safety first. Safety first. You're going to come away from this conference with a million different things you could do. Safety first. Is your children's ministry safe? We're going to talk about safeguarding your children's ministry after lunch. So important. Again, there are tares that grow up alongside of the wheat. We are promised that wolves will come in dressed in sheep's clothing. Kids are the most vulnerable population in our church. Are they safe? That's your job as a leader. It's better to do less with excellence as opposed to do more without quality or with compromise. So start small, and the things that you decide to do, do them well, and then build from there. Before you make a giant arch that looks like it's from Disneyland entering into your children's ministry area, make sure those kids are safe when they pass under it. Start with safety. Build on the essentials from there. Volunteer recruitment. Anyone in here having a volunteer serving? Really? You too? Yeah. How do we get volunteers? How do we get them to stay? How do we get them to stop leaving? How do we get good ones? Pray. Pray. Just talked to a young man. He emailed me a month ago. What do you guys do for worship? Do you do videos? My pastor wants me to do videos, and I don't feel like we should. I said, brother, don't do videos. You pray, and you know that you're not alone. Lead those kids in worship. Came up to me today. Thank you so much. Prayed. Believe it or not, the Lord sent somebody. We have somebody leading worship this Sunday. I'm going to miss it. I was like, brother, praise God, man. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up laborers and trust that he will. I don't know if you know this, but the Lord takes care of his church. He does. He's not freaking out. It's God's problem. We feel like it's ours. The pressure's on us because we see all the holes and I'm the leader. So it's my responsibility. Pray. Start with prayer. Talk to your pastor. He oversees the whole congregation. He leads them, the heart for them. See what he has to say. We really don't have enough people to have a safe children's ministry. What should we do? Do people know you are looking for help? Are they aware that help is needed in children's ministry? Church this size, people assume all the time, you guys need help in children's ministry? I figured a church this big, you had plenty of help. Well, no. Welcome aboard, right? So you just, you know, make the people aware. 2 times a year, we have what's called a ministry fair, and we just put, you know, if you go on our website, it is crazy. There's like 35 or something different ministries taking place here with their own titles. And so we have this ministry fair twice a year where we just put all the ministries up on display in the front, and we show people what ministries are here that you could participate in and what can you serve in. And we make them aware of how they can serve. I really try to, as little as possible, make an announcement from the pulpit. Hey, we could use some more help back in children's ministry, because what does that communicate to all the parents who just dropped their kids off in children's ministry? Oh, you don't have enough help back there? My goodness, I just dropped my baby off. What is going on back there? That doesn't sound good. So I have gotten really solid volunteers from Pastor Joe making an announcement. It is very, very rare that I have him do that, because then the people who are sitting there who should never be near a child hear the same thing. All right. Do they know what it means to help in children's ministry? Whoa, I didn't know I signed up for this. I'm out, right? Like, do they even know? Do they have any idea? Cast a clear vision. What are the goals? What are we doing? Why are we here doing it? That's why I sit down with every single person who wants to serve in children's ministry and special needs ministry. I let them know what they're signing up for. You're committed. You're doing it. I don't need you to sign a 1-year contract. I just want to be clear right off the bat. This is what you're signing up for. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get hard, and it's going to be awesome and fun. Ask specific people. Have you noticed people who are great with kids? People who would be gifted? Ask them. The reason why I am standing before you today, God could have done it other ways, but he used a high school friend when I was 17 years old who came to me and said, you should serve in children's ministry. I think you would like it. And I thought, yeah, all right. Started teaching the word, 17 years old. Loved it, fell in love with the word, fell in love with teaching it, fell in love with those kids. I found my giftings when I stepped into children's ministry. It is a way to notice the next leaders, the worship leaders, the pastors, the missionaries, when you allow different people who you see giftings in and you invite them to come and serve in children's ministry. Pretty cool place for giftings to be sharpened. Ask specific people. Get the youth involved. Here, for our senior hires, one of their requirements, if they're going through our discipleship program, is to serve. Once they're in 11th grade, they have to plug into a ministry. It is healthy for them. It's something that God calls us to. Who are the youth? Use the young people in your church, but don't use it as a way for them to get out of sitting in service. Add the right volunteers, not the wrong ones. So we're going to talk about that and safeguarding our ministry. You can look at my application back there, the children's ministry manual that I have. But if you've ever been in a situation where you have brought on a wrong volunteer, you don't want to be there. Please don't lower your standards for who you bring in and allow to work with your children. We're not just filling the room with warm bodies. We want the right people with the right heart who are going to put God's heart on display. Never lower your standards ever, 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 ever. Come to the Safeguarding Your Ministry workshop. Don't permit unsafe environments. This means that children's ministry, maybe it has to shut down. Yikes. Does that conversation scare you with your senior pastor? Hey, I don't think we can have children's ministry next Sunday. What? Are you going to let kids come back when there's not a safe volunteer-to-kid ratio that week? Are you going to permit any number of kids to come back in an unsafe environment where you might lose a kid or a kid could get hurt and no one would even know about it, or anyone could just wander back and take a kid and you wouldn't even know because you're juggling a million different things at one time? Definitely not. And so sometimes you need to have those conversations and then pray and see what the Lord does, but never compromise safety just so that we can get the kids in there and get the adults in the sanctuary. Don't hire outside help. I've had people call me. They see we're a big church. They assume we must need help. Hey, do you need our services? You know, we provide staff. to come and to serve with the children. They're totally vetted, cleared, background checks, hang up, beep, no, thank you. But you can come to our church and hear about Jesus. Don't accept outside help. If the Lord is growing his church and blessing it, he will raise up laborers within your own fellowship to serve. Don't outsource this. Don't hire outside help. Walk by faith, trust the Lord. He takes care of his church. Do what you can do and leave the rest in the Lord's hands. And may he renew you and give you strength as you wait on him. Fun. Caring for the volunteers you have. A leader cares well for the volunteers. Are your volunteers overworked and underappreciated? You're like, I don't know, but I am. Right? Volunteers are not just a number or a warm body. Good volunteers are a gift from the Lord. Some of them are sitting in this room right now. I'm so thankful. Take time to care for them. Love God and love your neighbor. Priority number one for your volunteers is going to be their walk with the Lord. Set healthy limits for them. Our priority is a believer's spiritual health, not a children's ministry program. People will serve to their own detriment and that of the children if we let them. You will do that. Maybe you have done that. Maybe I've done that. Doesn't honor the Lord. The Lord wants our hearts more than our service. Set healthy limits. If their service is A+ and their soul's a D-, we're failing them. We can and must do better. We should care more about their relationship with Christ than their job performance. Who they are in Christ matters so much more than what they do for him. Don't sacrifice your time in the Word, and don't let your volunteers either. One of the things that I ask volunteers as they're coming on is, tell me about your walk with the Lord. What are you reading through right now? What have you thought about what Pastor Joe's been teaching? Are they actually getting fed? Are they growing? This is why we require everyone who serves here to attend a service in addition to the one that they serve at. We have the opportunity to do that because we have multiple services. I know not every church has more than one service. But you need to get your volunteers into the sanctuary, into fellowship, under the Word. Their lives should be shaped by the teaching of the senior pastor. So don't just use your volunteers to get the job done. Shepherd them and care for their souls. All right, for you to care for them, you need to be present and lead by example. Don't disappear on them. Be around. As much as I can, on a Sunday morning, I try to walk through every single room. Hey, what are you guys doing? How's it going in here? I need anything? What's going on? Get an update on prayer requests, you know? And with a ministry as big as this one is, a lot of times I don't get to every room. So I make sure there's a good leadership team around me that is all able to check on things for me and kind of represent me in my heart to the other volunteers. But I do my best to be seen, to be present, to give volunteers a chance to talk to me. Is that happening in your ministry, or are you absent, tucked away in an office, unseen? What? You're our director? I had no idea. I've never seen you before. You're like, yeah, I've been here for 10 years. What are you talking about? Pray for them. Pray for them. I have so many volunteers. Over 200 volunteers between the children's ministry and special needs ministry. I have where they serve, all their names printed out. I pray through their names. I pray for each and every one of them. I try to get them well enough to know them well enough so that I know what's going on in their life. How can I be praying? Follow up on those who are sick. Who's in the hospital? Whose mom just died? What's going on at home? Do they need to take a break from serving? Is this getting to be too much? I pray for every single one of my volunteers. Your volunteers need to know that if they serve under you, they are getting prayed for. That their name is on your lips before the throne. It is a way for us to love them and to care for them and to serve them well. Pray for your volunteers. And when, instead of saying, I'll pray for you, when they share something with you, try to get into the habit of just praying for them right then and there. We use that as just a phrase, almost dismissive. All right, I'll pray for you. Praying. No, do it. Take 2 minutes and do it. Pray for them. It doesn't have to be long. And then after you pray, follow up. I've been praying for you this week. How's it going? Any change? Any news? Is your family okay? Communicate expectations. Communication. God's a great communicator. Are you? Am I? Do we communicate expectations and opportunities to serve? Again, vision casting, where there's no vision, the people perish, the Bible says. What defines a successful ministry? Communicate clearly what it is. How do you communicate with your volunteers? Emails? Smoke signals? Texting? An app? We currently use a platform called School Messenger. I'm able to send a massive phone call out to everybody. Send them a phone call. I can also send text and email. We are old school, man. I am working on switching over to at Calvary Quakertown. They use something called Services. It's an app that's part of a program that was made to help churches communicate, and it's able to give you, you know, push notifications to your phone through the app. You're able to see your scheduling, mark when you're not available. You have your coordinators have access to it. You know, you can coordinate schedules, rooms. Somebody calls out, you can plug somebody else in and notify, hey, we need help in the two-year-old room this Sunday, all those things. So I'm just working on getting that going because emails are not going to be super effective. Texting is effective in small numbers. And a consideration here is when it comes to communication, if you have minors serving you, you want to always include a parent on the communication. There's no reason why I need to be texting a 16-year-old volunteer about her schedule. That just shouldn't happen. So any of my young volunteers who are coming, I always meet with them and one of their parents, and I give them a 15-minute little interview where I lay out the expectations for them, and I let mom know, hey, every communication that goes out, I am going to include you on it. I will never communicate with your daughter, just me and her. And I had somebody, one of the girls in our church, texted me the other day, and I responded and included her dad in the response. And I told him, dude, just so you know, like, I don't want her texting me. she can respond in the text thread that you're in. And so make sure that's a priority because we want to protect the minors who are serving alongside of us as well. Communication, think about it. What tools are you going to use? What's effective? If you're using a communication right now, do your volunteers know that that's how you communicate? Do they know to check their emails or their inbox or their text? Whatever's effective, whatever is going to get the job done. How do you respond? Is your inbox, your voicemail, your text thread a black hole that you never get out of? Somebody communicates with you and they're like, I don't know if Chris is dead. I don't know what happened. I texted him 2 weeks ago and then the following week and I just haven't heard a single thing. Now I do just get like waves of communication. And, you know, I was talking to one of my staff and she was just joking about how the fact that I just never respond to her. And I fail at this often. And I just think to myself, do I need to respond to this right now? Or can I do it later? And we really should just get into the habit of immediate responses. Within a window of time, your people shouldn't have all access to you at all hours of every single day. Set boundaries, and I don't pick up my phone if somebody calls me and it's my day off. Unless I know that they are reaching out about a specific situation, they can leave a voicemail and then I can hear, oh, maybe this person's in the hospital, they need a visit, they have this need. They might just be calling me to shoot the breeze. I don't know what's going on. And so I have boundaries to make sure that I have time with my family that's uninterrupted. And then when you're at work, you're at work. Now, ministry is 24/7. Please hear me when I say that, but you also do need to have healthy boundaries with communication. Just make sure when people communicate to you, you have a way that you're going to respond to them and be reminded to respond to them. I am totally, this is one of my struggles, confession time, being transparent with you. Do train and equip your volunteers. Create a feedback loop that they can be a part of. A pastor should set up regular meetings to talk through the state of the ministry, provide opportunities for encouragement and to express thanks to your volunteers, time to inquire about challenges and problem solve together, a chance to talk through the bigger picture stuff, to train. I did something for a while called team talks. And all that was once a month for a stretch of time, I would just have one topic I was going to cover, classroom management, teaching fours and fives, how to lead a child to Christ. And I would say, hey, anyone in children's ministry, come to the meeting room before prayer. I'm going to grab pizza and we're all going to talk about this together. And then I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear what's going well, what challenges you're having. And that was for a period of time I did that every single month. And I would just stay here Sunday the whole day. And then it just ended up being too much. and I wasn't with my family enough, so I stopped. But then you provide other things. So, you know, here I did team talks for a while. I recorded them and threw them up on our website. And now we're doing the conference, which serves to equip as well. So hopefully that's good. But if you do a meeting, bring food. If you don't have budget for food, have them bring food. You know, potluck style. Just have something, you know, fellowship and food is just always a good thing. And then you can use that time to train them and kind of share vision for them as well. Now, don't micromanage. It's not your ministry. It's the Lord's. And God's going to use you, and your personality is unique in that. You do not need to micromanage every single detail. There are things that are important for you to oversee. I am very intentional with what worship songs are sung in children's ministry, with the curriculum, with the big decisions that are made, with essentials that should be in a classroom. But I let people be themselves. I don't have to clone myself. They don't have to be a bunch of little Chris's running around doing whatever Chris would do. God has given them uniqueness in the body of Christ. And the hand isn't the foot, and the foot isn't the hand. And so there are, you know, standards that we roll with, but we're not going to micromanage every single thing. You will burn yourself out. The Bible says, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Equip your volunteers to do the work. They shouldn't have to ask you about every single thing they're going to do. That's not helpful to you or to them. Set them free, man. Give them some basic principles to lean on and to stand on, and then let them run with it. If your volunteers have an issue or disagree with you about something, do they know that they can come talk to you? Are you accessible? Are you approachable? Are you around? Engage the hard things head on. Welcome difficult conversations. Make the unpopular decisions. That's what a leader is. Yay, we get to do that. Looking forward to all the hard conversations that I'm going to have this week. Maybe if you're sick in the head. Listen, don't run from it, though. Have the hard conversations. That's part of it. You need to ask that volunteer to stop serving. Go do it. Don't turn away. Don't look the other way. Don't ignore problems. Address them. Lead them. As unto the Lord. That's why God put you there. Definitely do encourage them and thank them. Show your appreciation and love for them. I don't do this enough, and you can't do it enough either. I try to say thank you to my volunteers. They serve my kids. I have a 7-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and 1-year-old. My kids are in children's ministry, and I trust the people that they get dropped off to 100%. And they pour into my kids, and my kids come home, and they know their Bible verses, and they know their Bible stories, and they know the Word, and tell me about worship and all those things, because people are faithfully pouring into them and loving them. I love the volunteers that are here. They're so faithful, such servant hearts, and I'm so thankful for them, and I don't say it enough, and I can't say it enough, but I want to do as much as I can to show appreciation to them and for them. Here at CC Philly, we have a teacher's lounge in the morning, an area with some food, with some coffee for the volunteers to enjoy. We try to hold regular meetings throughout the year. Again, we don't do that as much, but we do at least one time a year have a big policy and procedure meeting where we go through, let's do a recap. Any new volunteers, it's great. Anyone who wants a refresher, here are the things that have changed in the ministry manual. Here are the things that we're keeping the same, and it just keeps them up to date with the things that are going on. So we do that once a year. For my leadership team, have them over my house. The goal is once a year just to sit, fellowship, enjoy a meal together. We have a prayer house here at Calvary Philly. I take the leadership team away to the prayer house and some select volunteers, and we take a couple nights and just pray for one another, pray for the ministry, ask for the Lord's leading, put ourselves before Him. It's important to take that time away, especially if you have a little leadership team around you to meet, to discuss, to talk. We have an annual thank you pool party and barbecue at one of my staff people's house, who just graciously opens up her home and tells everybody to come, bring their families, enjoy fellowship with one another. One of my staff members puts little thank you notes together once a year with puns on them and like little candies that just say, thank you so much for serving, you know, little things. And if there's stuff happening that's going on, you know, I have people who are looking out for me who are my lifeline. They let me know if a volunteer is struggling or I need to reach out to someone. All right. okay. Here we go, Lord. Volunteer unrecruitment. I know that's not a word. But have you ever had a volunteer that you wanted to unrecruit? Man, how do I get rid of them? Maybe they were already there when you started serving in leadership. You're like, I didn't bring you on. Where did you come from? No joke, here at Calvary Philly, for our holiday services, we used to put sign-up sheets out, and anyone could just put their name on it. And then we would call them and we'd bring them on. That was before my time. I'm not taking responsibility for it. Not everyone should be serving in children's ministry. Sometimes someone starts and they should stop. Wasn't good for them. Good application process will help that happen less and less. Sometimes someone gets to the point in their life where they are just no longer in a healthy place to be serving. The season has changed. And maybe they need help to know it's time to transition to something else. The Lord is calling them to something else. One of the things I'm always praying is that if there's anyone who should no longer be serving, the Lord would make it very clear to me and guide me in those conversations, because I am so thankful for everyone who gives of their time and their energy and their effort to serve with kids. But I'm not going to let that compromise the spiritual health or the physical health or the emotional health of our children and let other volunteers suffer with it and get burnt out because this volunteer is just constantly a pain, constantly causing conflict. And so you just keep your eyes open. Are there any red flags showing up? Are other people saying things about a certain volunteer? Are there any ongoing issues that you have to address again and again and again? Are they consistently late? Are they calling out all the time? Are they disengaged? Are they not going into service, but they are serving? You get to do that as the leader. If a pastor oversees your children's ministry, do it with them. You want to care for their heart and their soul well, too. You want to thank them, and on a gracious note, you don't want to burn bridges. You want to let them go in a way that still leads them to Christ and lets them know that you're thankful and they're welcome to come to the church and you want them here being fed. I've had some difficult ones in the past year. I think Chuck Smith called them blessed subtractions. It does make things healthier. It's painful for a minute. Worse to keep them on. Dealing with problems, be proactive and be prayerful. If there are problems, address them. Do not avoid conflict. Do not avoid it. Unity is so necessary, and we help glue everyone together. How can two walk together unless they agree? Amos 3:3 says. Again, cast the vision. Know what they signed up for. What's it all about? Maintain unity. Ephesians 4 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Is your children's ministry peaceful among your volunteers? A lot of different personalities. Some of them more prone to conflict than others. Some strong personalities serving in children's ministry. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Do not ignore issues. You don't have that luxury. Encourage people to follow the model given to us in Matthew 18 if they have a problem with somebody. If somebody comes to you with a problem about somebody else, the first question that you ask is, did you go to them? Did you talk to them about it? Let's read Matthew 18 together. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Matthew 18:15. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Praise God. You can do that. You don't need a pastor to step in for that. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Otherwise, it's just you against them. And if he refuses to hear them, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to hear the church, then let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Cast him out. He doesn't have any place there. Let's encourage people to be slow to speak, and let's be slow to speak ourselves. Don't jump to quick judgments about people. Take time, not too much time. We want to get all the details before we rush into making a decision. And if I have a problem with someone, if somebody has a problem with me and I don't even know it, I want to be given the opportunity to ask forgiveness and to seek reconciliation to them, to be given to the ministry of reconciliation. I don't want you harboring bitterness against me or think that I'm angry with you. I don't even know it. Please come to me. Problems with kids. And kids in your children's ministry ever have problems? Do they have conflict? Do they fight with each other? Do they argue? Are they mean? Are they bullies? Not in our church. No, in your church. Disciple them through conflict. Give them opportunities to ask for and to seek forgiveness. Please, shepherd them in that. Shepherd them in that. Do not force forgiveness. Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. No, you're not, you little liar. Go stand in the corner. No, don't do that. Don't force forgiveness. Give the opportunity. Disciple, this is what the Lord wants you to do. Forgive others even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgive us our trespasses even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead them in those things. Lead by example. Sometimes we need to ask forgiveness of the kids. Do it. Model that for them. Model grace and mercy. Problems with families. Someone will disagree with how you do things as a leader. I have a long list of people. Parents are sure that they know what's best for their children. And God has gifted those children to them and them to those children. Well, someone once said that it takes a village to raise a child. I would argue that it takes the whole church to raise a family. You don't just want to surround your kids with anybody, but the church should come around families in a way that is meaningful. And so parents are the primary ones responsible for their children's spiritual growth. They're not the only ones. And if kids are going to be in the ministry that I have been entrusted with, then there's going to be some things that I do that parents disagree with. No, your fifth grader can't go into the room with your two-year-old. We're not going to do that. We keep ages separate here. And so we have things in place. No, you can't sit in the classroom with your child every single week. That's not helpful. Have rules and stick to them. Be gracious. And the reality is, if they can't agree with you, your church might not be the best fit for them. That's okay. You don't need to come to Calvary Philly. It's a big church. It might not be the best thing for you. There's a lot going on here. You might benefit from a smaller family atmosphere. That's totally fine. How dare you tell me I can't? I didn't say you can't come. I just said that it might not be the best. If you're here, this is how we do things. Is that going to be a blessing? Can you do it? Be gentle and patient. A warning. You get to take the heat as the leader. Don't let people abuse your volunteers. Put kids in a position where they are harmed or stumbled because someone's angry or being unreasonable. People threatening to sue a volunteer. A parent calling you and saying, no, you must set up a meeting with me and that other child. He will apologize to my son. I am not unleashing you on the children in my... No, that's not going to happen. What do you mean that's not going to happen? Not going to happen. People think they can just have their way with anything. Oh my. Okay, be organized. Let all things be done decently and in order. God is not a God of confusion. Have structure. I did a class workshop on classroom structure and management. Have structure, a ministry manual. Thinking through what you're going to put in a ministry manual is a really helpful exercise. What are we actually doing here? Have policies, have a vision, good administration. If you're not a good administrator, find someone who is. Administration is the machine that keeps this thing running. Schedules, call-outs, call-ins, people sick, all kinds of stuff going on. Craft supplies, snacks. What are you going to do? By the way, we don't do snacks here at Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia. No goldfish? No goldfish. They're in here for an hour. They're here. What do they need snacks for? They're going home to eat. Giving them the word, man. Some of my, he's such a monster. No, you know, VBS, we do snacks. Come to VBS. We'll give you snacks once a year. Good administration, effective means of communication. You know, steal my stuff and take whatever you want and adjust it to make your own stuff fit. Gather a leadership team. Is the children's ministry 100% upon you being there? It shouldn't be. If you get sick, you come in sick as a dog because the place is going to burn to the ground if you're not there. That's not helpful to your church. Like, what's going on back there? It looks like a zoo. Children's ministry director called out, and no one knows what's going on or what to do or who's scheduled and who's not. Pray and observe. Gather some people around you. Look for faithful and fruitful servants. You'll know someone by their fruit. Give out responsibilities. Observe them. Watch them. Grow them. Look for people who are gifted in administration. That's a big part of children's ministry. Volunteers won't always remember what to do, so it's helpful to have people who are able to express your heart, the policies, to remember those things when volunteers are asking questions on a Sunday morning. Do delegate, but remember that you're responsible for everything that takes place. Take responsibility, even responsibility for failure. Engage hard things head on. Welcome difficult conversations. Make the unpopular decisions. And when parents are upset, don't let them beat on your volunteers. Stand in the gap for them. Your volunteers know that you're going to stand up for them. Take care of them. Your job's to be faithful. Teach. Lead. Pray. God will do the rest. He'll take care of it. All right. I guess I'll end here because time is against me. I would just say that let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. You're a leader now. Continue to lead well, but be led. Don't sacrifice that time with the Lord. Let him steer the ship. And I was on the West Coast. Mark Carson, love the brother. He said that, you know, children's ministry is more like a cruise ship than a sailboat. If you're going to make changes, make them slowly. Communicate your changes. Communicate what you're going to do. Cast the vision. Man, don't just whip that thing at some kind of angle that throws everybody overboard. You'll start putting things into place because you learned them at this conference, and this is what we're going to do. And all the volunteers are like, I'm out. I don't know what you learned over there. That's some kind of crazy thing going on, but this is not what we do. This is my ministry, my classroom. You're like, no, get out. Blessed subtraction. But you just want to seek the Lord about all these things. Pray about it. Be led. Led of the Spirit. Be on guard. And let the little children come to him. Anything in there helpful? Anything useful that you can use? All right. Praise God. Let's pray. God, thank you for lunch, and I pray that you would bless it to our bodies and give us strength and energy. Bless the fellowship that's going to take place. Thank you for everyone in this room. I pray that you would set a hedge about them, that you would protect them, guard them, keep them, lead them, shepherd them, Lord, nurture them. I ask your abundant blessing in their life, and that they would be able to have wisdom and discernment and courage to do the things that you are calling them to do. So go before us. In your name we pray. Amen.